Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. It is another victory week here. We're mediocre. We're 500. The Jets are coming, and who knows? Luke Jones will be here all week long. We're going to be there on the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. I have Raven scratch-offs to give away. It's been a lucky batch. Love seeing $20 winners and people dancing and getting all happy. We're going to be getting happy in some new places in December, going back to some old places and great friends of ours for a cup of soup or bowl in early February. Be talking more about that as we get up onto it. But it is a Thanksgiving, long Thanksgiving week here. We got two games in 5 days next week. One of them here on the aftermath of dinner. Save me a slice of pumpkin pie, please. But we have a real football season, Luke, and at 1-5, it was us being optimistic and the Vegas community's optimistic and Lamar coming back was being optimistic and all of that. I know we're going to beat them up. I know we're going to talk about how it was a near fatal experience in Cleveland on Sunday afternoon, but it wasn't. And there were certainly some signs of life, certainly for the secondary. And it's hard for me to judge it when you're playing such an awful quarterback or set of quarterbacks in the case of the Browns on Sunday. Below the bar doesn't begin to talk about that, but in saying that, there were some shining moments for this team.
There were, and it's been that way for the defense for a while now. They certainly been trending up, and I said to you as we were kind of getting ready to begin this segment, there was a guy that I mentioned to you that we haven't talked about. Maybe we've mentioned a couple times in passing, really, since mid-June, I would say, from the time that the Ravens signed Jaire Alexander, the fact that they signed Chidobe Awuzie in, I think it was late March. It's a 1 year, $1.255 million contract, basically a vet minimum kind of deal. A guy who had gotten a nice payday in Tennessee and injuries and, which has kind of been the story of his career, a lot like Jaire Alexander. But he was kind of forgotten from that point, almost to the point where he was, I want to say discarded, but was someone that was not on the radar. Everyone talked about obviously Marlon Humphrey and Nate Wiggins and Jaire Alexander coming over from Green Bay and all of that. Quietly, Chidobe Awuzie's had a really solid year for them. And it's been interesting because going back to June when Alexander arrives, you're kind of thinking, okay, Awuzie is probably going to be, the number four corner. And then obviously we saw how training camp played out and Awuzie was banged up in training camp just like Jaire Alexander was. But the season starts and Awuzie was playing. And we know that their defense collectively wasn't playing well. But if you go back to the first few weeks of the season, the bright spot was probably Nate Wiggins and Awuzie on the outside. Then Awuzie gets hurt in the Kansas City game, played through a hamstring, didn't play well in that game, misses a couple games. They pivot to their three safety defense. Marlon Humphrey moves to the outside, and suddenly Awuzie is a backup. And, you're not saying that he's not valuable as far as depth, but you're kind of not talking about him. Then last week, he plays well, makes some good plays in that game. And then on Sunday gets the start with Humphrey out and go back and look at that 3rd and 5 play. I mean, that was a touchdown if he doesn't have his hand knock that ball out. That was one of the few good passes that Shedeur Sanders threw in that second half. And Awuzie makes a big play there. So I wanted to take 2 minutes just as we talk about the defense collectively, but for as much as we've talked about how much of a flop Jaire Alexander was, and not piling on with him. He stepped away from the Eagles. Who knows if he's going to play football again? Who knows what's going on with him beyond the physical? So, not going to belabor that point. But for as disappointing as that signing was, Woozy has been a really nice signing. And I'll give Eric DaCosta credit there because let's face it, what we've talked about it. We talked about it a lot leading into the trade deadline. This was not Eric's finest offseason in terms of, what they did with the cap resources that they had to sign some outside free agents, with Cooper Rush and Alexander. But,
Yeah, we're hoping for better from Mike Elias in the next coming weeks.
well, sure. Yeah. But Awuzie, I mean, for a little over $1 million, they're happy to have him. I mean, I asked John Harbaugh about him last week, and it was funny. It was one of those times where, I basically asked the question because we knew that Humphrey wasn't going to play, and you're thinking, well, it'd be nice to get a quote on the guy about the guy who's going to replace him and all that. And Harbaugh flat out said, look, he's played really, really good football for us, and you guys haven't asked about him a whole lot, and that's fine, but we've noticed how well he's played. So, I mean, that was big for them. I mean, who knows what happens there? I mean, they scored. Does Cleveland go for the win and go for two? Or, we're talking about overtime. Who knows what's going to happen? But I just, he's someone that I've mentioned in passing maybe two or three times, but I think quietly he's played pretty well. And for what it's worth, you go look at Pro Football Focus grades, and I know people feel a certain way about that. I'm not saying it's gospel by any stretch of the imagination, but he's been one of their highest graded defenders this year, according to PFF. So just speaks to what he's done. And when you're missing a player like Marlon Humphrey on your defense, even if it is against the Browns, that's not ideal. So Awuzie to step in and do what he did, that was nice to see. I mean, we've talked about it. Wiggins, when you're talking about players on the defense who've taken a step forward, Wiggins certainly qualifies for that in my mind. So, but if
Starks
that,
is on the field.
yeah, Starks is playing better. There's no doubt about that. So you do have guys trending upward. And I think it's fair to fully acknowledge you played J.J. McCarthy last week. You played Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders this week, right? I mean, Tua is not playing anywhere close to where he was a couple years ago overall. And so, they played him. So they've had a more forgiving run of opposing quarterbacks and
Is
opposing
this going to be
offenses.
Tyrod Taylor this
But
week? What are we getting this week here?
I don't know. I mean, just him or Justin Fields. I mean, it's the Jets are, Garrett Wilson's on IR now. I mean, they traded away their two best defensive players at the
Well, we get
deadline. I
one of
mean,
the Joes 10 days from now too, right?
yeah. I mean, that'll be a step up. But since you mentioned it, and I know, we're going to talk about the Ravens defense here, but watching that Pittsburgh Cincinnati game, I don't know if Joe's shoulder's healthy. There was not a lot of zip on the ball, and it was windy in Pittsburgh, but as well as he played the previous game where he had that AC joint shoulder injury and he still threw for over 400 yards, he didn't look good throwing the football. And Pittsburgh had something to do with that. I understand that, but that was just something, since you mentioned Cincinnati and Joe Burrow or Joe
Well, and they're
Flacco.
around the corner. We're going to see them next week.
Yeah, I mean, it might be Joe Burrow, although at this point with the Bengals taking another loss, you start to wonder, I mean, is the juice worth the squeeze in terms of Burrow trying to come back? Is he going to be anywhere close to 100%? All of that. But in the meantime, to bring it back to the Ravens and this defense, they're doing exactly what it, if they wanted to prove everyone wrong that the end of or the beginning of the season was more the aberration, they were better than that. They made adjustments, they got healthier. The Madubuike hole aside, right, which you're not replacing a player like that easily, they've gotten better. And I don't know if this means they're a great defense, right? I mean, I don't know that based on the slate of recent opponents, but it's certainly way better than it was early in the year when, I mean, through five games, it was 1996 Ravens defense bad. And you know exactly what
Well,
that
this is
means.
good
So,
enough to beat bad teams. We've
sure.
figured that out.
And I would say I would feel confident enough in saying this is what we're seeing now. I at least feel it's more competitive even against better teams. Like I'm not necessarily expecting as you step up in weight class that means anyone's going to hang 45 points on them either, right? Doesn't mean they're going to hold them
Well,
to
the Bengals will have
16.
a formidable offense. Other than that, I mean, if Burrow's back, certainly,
Yeah.
if Flacco's injury and whatever that is, but I mean, the Steelers could be a shell of themselves without Aaron Rodgers. So, I look at it and say New England, Green Bay, where they'll get tested. We're really
Yeah.
tested in weeks where I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. They're going to be favored in all of these games, and I expect them to win them.
Well, I mean, it's, Drake May is playing really good football. I mean, I will say that. I mean,
That's
that
a month from now, though.
it
It's a
is,
long
and
time
it
from now.
is, right, exactly. I mean, you've got some time, and who knows what's going to happen. I mean, this
I
league
keep
is.
waiting for them to look like a playoff team, a better team. Right now, they look like still a team with a lot of potential that feels unfulfilled,
I mean,
and that there's some level of disappointment when you're losing to the freaking Browns and you need a miracle
sure.
fourth and one play from your tight end to run, and at least I'll give Harbaugh, he lies enough. At least he was honest in saying, look, I was just looking to get a yard. I was just looking to keep the drive going. I mean, they were looking to kick a field goal to win the game. They wound up winning it. Good for them, but it far from an impressive effort. I mean, I would say far from having us take the leap of faith to think like, hey, they're on to something here. This thing's coming together. I don't know. I don't know that it's coming together. I think they're slapping it together, and I think the fronts offensively and defensively, this is what it's going to be. I don't know how it's going to look a whole lot better. I don't know who they're going to go out and slap around if they're not going to go out and slap around the Browns. They're great defense aside.
Right. I'll give their defense more credit than that. Their defense, and I'll push back a little bit on what you said. Over the last four games, do they look like a playoff team? I mean, 14 teams in the NFL make the playoffs, right? I mean, I think they look like that. They look to me, they look like the best team in the AFC
They
North at
look
this
like
point
a
in time.
4-0 team the last month, is what they
But
look
right, and
like.
they are a 4-0 team the last month.
Right.
So now that said, do they look like a team that's rounding into serious Super Bowl contender form? No, but I'll continue to say, who does look like that right now? I mean, I'll give you a couple teams in the NFC that I think look that way. I mean, and they played each other on Sunday. I think the Rams and the Seahawks look really, really good in the NFC. I think Philadelphia is still the defending champs, and as much as the AJ Brown thing, but in the AFC, I see really intriguing new teams at the top of the conference right now. I think Denver deserves a lot of credit for what they did Sunday and their defense. I mean, man, look how many sacks they have. I mean, that front is really impressive. And that's the kind of team where you say, okay, Ravens, if they're playing that team and they're playing that team on the road, assuming they're going to win the division and maybe they might be the number one seed before it's all said and done. That's where you look at it and say, is your offensive line going to hold up against that group on the road? And Bo Nix is not, he's still chasing consistency, but he's someone that even going back to last year can play at a high level for at least spurts. So, we talked about New England. Indy has the best running back in football this year in Jonathan Taylor. But are any of those teams like, do you view any of those teams like we viewed Kansas City or Buffalo the last 5 years? No. But that said, if they keep winning, then Denver just beat Kansas City on Sunday. I mean, maybe this is the year that, it's a new class, so to speak. So, a lot of football left, but it is it this AFC. We talked about it last week in the aftermath of that Vikings game. It feels very, not in terms of necessarily the records, because, I mean, at this point, Kansas City's not winning that division the way it's looking. I mean, Denver's going to have to collapse for Kansas City to win that division, and that's not even accounting for the Chargers and what could happen there. But in terms of like the eyeball test, in terms of like they look like a Super Bowl team, I don't know who that is in the AFC right now. I thought Kansas City 3 or 4 weeks ago, I would have said the Chiefs kind of look like back to being peak Chiefs, and they keep losing close games. So you can't win close games. How can you be considered a great team, right? So they have the same record as the Ravens. So it really is a case right now of week to week and stack wins, add wins
Well, the
to.
whole idea is when the Ravens and the Chiefs and the Bills win divisions, stack their schedule, have the draft work against them, like literally to knock them back a little bit. There have been long stretches where that didn't happen to the
Yeah.
Patriots. It didn't happen to the Ravens for long stretches. Didn't happen to the Steelers and the Eagles and some of the franchises. The Atlanta Braves in baseball, where it just feels like it went on for a decade or a decade and a half that you're a playoff team, you're a double-digit win team. This is the year that Buffalo and Kansas City and the Ravens are having to scrape a little bit more. And also teams like the Commanders that went and showed up in a championship game last year get kicked in the teeth and have to come back and figure it out again.
Right.
And even the upstarts, the Chargers, had their, they had a dog day on Sunday. I haven't seen the dog day yet for New England and for Denver, where they just go out and stink and get beat by some team like the Browns. But there's a lot of football left, man.
Yeah,
There really is a
sure.
lot of football left. And for the Josh Allens and the Patrick Mahomes and the Lamar Jacksons, they've proven so much that the Bo Nixes and these guys are the Drake May. They're seeing it all for the first time. And Here's Lamar 7, 8 years into this. Josh Allen, same thing, trying to just get to a Super Bowl. Burrow's trying to get back on the field next week. So for the quarterbacks and for the leadership for these franchises, the tectonic plates are moving a little bit in this season, and it's a fascinating NFL season. I'll just flat out. But can the Ravens go to the Super Bowl and win it? Absolutely. Absolutely they can. And for that, and they have the Jets coming this week and the Bengals next week. This is going to be as good a December as you want it to be if you're a fan.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say this. As their offensive line has looked, what their offensive line has looked like all year, that's where I'm hesitant to say they can do that. But where I will say they can is because of how wide open it is, right? It's sitting, to quote Brian Billick once upon a time, it's sitting right there for
It was
someone to
26
grab.
years ago. Crazy, man.
But that's also where. At the same time, you have to give Denver credit. You have to give New England credit. You have to give Indianapolis credit. I mean, they're winning games, regardless of whether they look like they're going to be the next Chiefs or even the next Bills or even the next Ravens for that matter, in terms of like regular season success and shiny record and number one seed or number two seed, whatever. They're there right now. And they're going to have a chance to get better too. They're going to be tested too. I mean, New England. If they come into Baltimore a few days before Christmas and beat the Ravens in Baltimore, then boy, the Patriots, you're talking about. By the way, my early prediction a month out, I predict that game's going to be a Sunday night game. I think that game's going to get flexed to
I
Sunday
looked at
night.
the schedule too, and
Yeah,
I thought the
that
same
because what,
thing.
Bengals Dolphins, I think, is the current Sunday night
Oh,
game that
real
week.
PU-er, yeah.
I don't think Joe Burrow is saving that being a Sunday night game, whether he's, assuming he's back playing by then. There you go. Like the opportunity there. On the flip side, if New England, I don't know, whatever the record is at that point, let's say it's 11 and, maybe they're 12 and 3 at that point. I guess it'd be, I think that'd be what? Yeah, 12 and 3 at that point, or 12 and 2 at that point. The Ravens win that game, then you're thinking about them differently and saying, hey, they just knocked off the top team in the conference, right? I mean,
Even if
regardless
that
of,
only gets them to 8 or 9 wins, which is
I
where they
mean,
would be.
sure. So, I mean, it's, that's the thing here. I mean, yes, you need to win games, but you're also trying to get better in the process. And we've seen their defense get better, their offense, and specifically their offensive line. It still has a ways to go. I mean, I'm not going to shy away from that. In the same way that 5 years ago, when you made the comment when Ronnie Stanley, wrecked his ankle was wrecked, and you said at that point, I don't think they can win a Super Bowl now. I don't think the way their offensive line is playing right now. I have my doubts about their ability to make a truly deep run in January. That said, they've got 7 weeks to get better, right? We'll see if they do. And I, at this point, I'm not holding my breath for a lineup change or anything like that. I mean,
Yeah, because it feels like these are the guys. I mean, that they're for
for better or
sure.
for worse, yeah. I mean, maybe Emory Jones at some point. I know fans have talked because he's a third round pick and he's been practicing now for about a month, but. He missed the entire spring and summer. I just don't know how much you can expect out of a third round rookie who missed his entire set of OTAs and training camp to really develop, right? So, but maybe he's the guy that maybe he moves into left guard for Voorhees or for Falele at some point. I don't know. Point is, you're not, Kevin Zeitler's not walking through that door. Marshall Yanda's not walking through that door. Morgan Moses or Orlando Brown or take your pick, whatever lineman of the
And
recent
it's
history you'd
hard
like
when
to
you're
have.
not winning battles on every
It's
play,
tough.
right?
It's
Every
tough.
play, you have less time to react. There's no hole for the running. It's just, and then you're in a bad D&D. And then I'll say this, the penalty thing hasn't been as pronounced this
That's
year. I
true.
mean, that would make it a lot more detrimental if they were having that problem.
Yeah, I mean, going into week 11, they were tied for fifth in the league in penalties and tied for seventh in penalty yardage, meaning on a
In a good
positive,
way.
in a good way. So, which last year we know that was a major issue. So, yeah, I mean, you're looking for any edge that you can find. And it's funny to bring this up because Sunday was not a good day for the special teams. Prior to Sunday, their special teams overall have been much better this year than they were a year ago. We talked a lot about the failures of their special teams
Well, Justin
last year.
Tucker missing
Tucker
kicks.
especially, but there were other elements that weren't as good with them. So
I saw Devin Duvernay with a big return
he
on
did.
Sunday.
He absolutely did. So, but you know, when you're a flawed football team and you're not the juggernaut that they've looked to be in the past in the regular season, not this year, but in previous years, then yeah, you've got to find those edges. And on Sunday, their edge was they had a great play call and they executed it really well in a fourth and one when they absolutely needed it. I mean, go look at that play. Derrick Henry and Lamar selling that to the left. Andrews with like spins out of it, and Patrick Ricard with the block to spring him, not just for a 5 yard gain and a first down, but you know, Andrews to pick up speed to score a touchdown there. I mean, sometimes that's what you need, right? I mean, I've cited this example so many different times, you know, when we were talking about whether it was last year or other times where they've gone through some slower stretches or gone through some adversity. I mean, we know what that 2012 team looked like. You know, I mean, they at this time in 2012, Cam Cameron was still
Teetering.
three and a half weeks from being fired, right? I mean, we're still a month out from Joe Flacco planking as Denver returns a, you know, a pick six. So there's a lot that can happen, good or bad, right? This team experienced a lot of bad in the first 6 weeks of the season, and it's been better since then. Not perfect, not dominant, not elite, not looking like they're rounding into form to be a juggernaut,
Well, I was
but
going to
it's
say
looking
rounding
better.
into form because they're winning games. That
Sure.
rounding into form for me is at least they're surviving. I
Yeah.
again, we started the whole thing by saying no style points here this week, but we're going to give them to them anyway because we do want to see things look better than it looked on Sunday. I mean, I
Yeah.
could throw the towel in and say maybe they could have lost, they should have lost. There were plays, there was they would have taken the ball on the 1 foot line on that call that Stefanski threw the flag on. Draymond Jones hit Shedeur Sanders in the head. You know, after he threw the football, that could have been a 15-yarder, and that's what they would have needed because, like, that kid can't play. The Dillon Gabriel kid can't play, and yet they were beating them at the end of the game. And you know, that's the razor's edge of the league, but that's also not really where you want to be, and not where you
No.
want us talking about them for the next week, because they play the Jets next week. They can beat the Jets 42-3, and we're not going to learn much. The Browns were different though, because the Browns bring a defense. The Browns bring a player might be the best player in the sport, all things aside. I mean, Myles Garrett. I don't know the last time I saw anybody wrecking games like that. Like Ray Lewis wrecked games from a different position, but not like that.
Yeah, well, I mean, it speaks to when you have a Hall of Fame edge guy, you know, of someone rushing the passer from the edge who can do what he does. It's pretty special. That said, he had four sacks and they lost, right? I mean, it
Right.
also speaks to the team element of the game that maybe quarterback, you know, but we've even seen
Four
really great
sacks, but they got
quarterbacks.
beaten on a trick play by the tight end.
Sure, but it's, you know, that's a special talent right there. And, you know, the Ravens don't have anyone even close to that. You know, I mean, Kyle Hamilton is dynamic in different ways. And I'll put Kyle Hamilton up there amongst, you know, a pretty small group of the best defensive players in the league. You know, I think he's that kind of player, but he doesn't do that, right? In the same way that Myles Garrett's not making plays in coverage and doing the things that Kyle Hamilton
But
does, of
Kyle
course.
Hamilton does
But,
mess you up, though.
oh, no question. No question. I mean, that's why from the moment that Ardarius Washington got hurt in mid-May, that's why I was saying they need a third safety. They need a third safety because you want to have Hamilton back in that kind of a position. And we know why they ch made the change last year. It's because they had no one who could cover on the back end of the defense because Marcus Williams forgot how to play football and Eddie Jackson couldn't play anymore. I mean, they were just hemorrhaging bad plays left and right, right? I mean, that was that bad that they needed Hamilton to do that. So it worked, but in a big picture sense, I mean, this is what you want him to do. It's funny. Kyle Hamilton was asked this week by, you know, a reporter in the locker room what he would like if someone asked him, what position do you play? What would you say? And he still says safety, right? I mean, I joked with a couple other reporters, like they should just name it like the Hamilton, because I mean, he blitzes from the edge, he plays like a linebacker, can cover guys still. I mean, he does all those things. I mean, he's such a dynamic player. But that's what we're talking about here when you're talking about a Myles Garrett or a Kyle Hamilton. I mean, these are dynamic players. To your point, I mean, the Ravens had two of the all-time best when you're talking about Ray Lewis at the middle linebacker position and Ed Reed in his prime. And Ed, before the injuries later in his career, he was another guy that line up and blitz from the edge and block punts and all kinds of stuff. When you have players like that, I mean, it's incredible. So, for as much as the Ravens do have some deficiencies on defense in terms of like the rushing as a traditional four-man front or being able to have edge rushers that consistently win, I do think Draymond Jones has helped. There's no question about that. I like him as a
You
player.
notice him for
Gives
sure.
them a little bit of inside outside versatility. If you notice, he slides in and rushes from a three technique or a four technique in some of those
He's a better football
obvious.
player than Adafi Owe.
I don't disagree. He's a different football player, but yeah, better. I agree. So they're better in that way. Do they still miss Nnamdi Matabike? Of course they do. Are they still lacking a truly dynamic edge rusher in the way that Terrell Suggs was that for them a decade ago, or go back to Michael McCrary or Peter Boulware 25 years ago? Of course they don't have that, but their pass rush has been better the last couple of weeks. I know Cleveland doesn't have a very good, their tackles especially are not good, and they even lost their left tackle during the game on Sunday. So that's still a question. There's no question about that, but it's better. And early in the season, that was a defense looking so poor that you were starting to wonder, it's like, even when Lamar comes back, is this defense going to ever be good enough to truly be able to trust this team to win enough games down the stretch to make the playoffs and come back from a 1-5 start and all that? I mean, there are major doubts. I feel better about the defense in that context. I don't know if it's a great defense because I don't know if they're going to be able to get enough pressure on more dynamic quarterbacks, and they'll have some tests in December to kind of see what that looks
Well, it's
like.
nice to see Van
But
Noy get a set, like the
yeah, I mean,
fact that they built a little bit of confidence in the game.
I mean, let's face it. When was the last time you and I even mentioned Kyle Van Noy? And I'm not trying to pick on him. He's in his well into his 30s. I mean, it might just be that he's mostly out of juice. I don't know. But that was good to see. There's no question about that. Hopefully that gets him going a little bit more. I still think, not just with Draymond Jones, I still have liked what I've seen from Mike Green over the last month or so. I think he's looked better. He again had the ankle this week in practice, and I think that's a bummer because you hope that doesn't slow his
Well, you want him
momentum.
to feel like he belongs, like Buchanan feels like he belongs,
Yeah.
right?
Oh, I think Mike Green has made more plays. I think he's looked better. I'm not predicting that means
Well,
he's going to
these are
be
the
an all
guys that have
pro,
to go
but
out on a cold night in January and make plays. There's nobody else. There is nobody else. These are the guys that are going to be in on third and long against Drake May, against Bonick, whoever it is that you're going to be playing in big games. These are going to be the guys that are going to have to make plays.
And unlike most players on the field, let's face it. You know what Kyle Van Noy is at this point in his career. Another guy I want to mention, he's not as young as some of the guys we just mentioned. I think Travis Jones has been playing much, much, much better football over the last month. You go look at the havoc he's re wrecking or wreaking up compared
You
to
want
where
to
he
see the
was.
young guys emerge, and
He
that's
was
why
back.
we talk about Buchanan and Starks and Wiggins and like making impact
I
plays.
mean,
And
but those are the guys that, if you're talking in terms of how this defense continues to get better, you kind of do look at the young guys because they're the unknown commodities, right? I mean, Malachi Starks, seen him make a couple interceptions in deep coverage over the last 3 weeks, right? You mentioned Teddy Buchanan and how he's looked better in coverage. Mike Green, the last few weeks leading into Sunday had given them a little more juice, had a couple sacks. I mean, those are the guys that, not saying they become Pro Bowl players by the end of the year, but the young guys are the guys that you talk about ceiling, right? Upside. Kyle Van Noy, I mean, you're not necessarily expecting Kyle Van Noy to be a better player come January 10th than what he is right now because He's in his 30s, right? I mean, most of those guys that are have been in the league 4, 5, 6, 7 years and beyond, for the most part, they're known commodities. And yeah, I mean, Van Noy is a good example of someone who has been way better as a pass rusher in Baltimore than his previous stops. But you understand the point I'm making. These young guys are the guys that you're hoping are ascending players. Is it enough to think that the defense is going to be great or elite or special come January? I still have my doubts about the
Well, you got to
defensive
get
line,
there
to your point.
first.
But yeah, exactly.
If you're
But
playing in January, they have emerged. They have played
well,
better.
and but let's face it. I mean, their offense didn't win them the game on Sunday. Their defense is the group that did the heavy lifting. Their defense did heavy lifting last week. I mean, go back to the Chicago game. I mean, yeah, Snoop Huntley, that was a commendable performance by him, but their defense made some big plays in that game. So, it needs to continue to get better. They need to be consistent. They're certainly going to be tested more after the Jets game, in the games to follow than they have been the last few weeks against some pedestrian at best quarterbacks. But they are getting better. They need their offense to get better. There's no doubt about that. But that's where you see Lamar and you see Derrick Henry and you see Mark Andrews and you have Zay Flowers and you have Isaiah Likely and so you see dynamic skill players. It's the question of the O-line, but the defense, yeah, I'm pleased with what I've seen from the defense. And this is where we haven't mentioned his name. I will give a tip of the cap to Zach Orr. I get it. He was wildly unpopular in these parts and people were calling for his head and all that when they were 1-5, but they are playing a much better brand of football on the defensive side, and you want to see that continue as they get closer and closer to December, knowing that they are going to be playing some tougher offenses again. But it's trending well, and it has for a while on defense. And boy, they absolutely needed it on Sunday because certainly wasn't the offense and the special teams that stood out in a good way on Sunday.
5 wins, 5 losses, 4 wins in a row. Luke Jones will be in Owings Mills all week long. If you're on the WNSD tech service, you'll get all the breaking news first, as always. Always brought to you by Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. Also, it's my big colonoscopy week. My big thanks to GBMC for keeping me healthy. We've been talking about all sorts of things, hip replacement, knee replacement, all sorts of things that can go wrong and how they can help you get back to optimal health. And certainly for me, I'm looking for a clean bill of health. Every guy out there getting PSA numbers checked, I am now in line and I will be reporting in. Also, Maryland Crab Cake Tour. I was at Costas over the weekend. We're going to be back there. We're going to be at Coco's. We were at Coco's 2 weeks ago. We were at Fadley's 4 weeks ago. We were at Pizza John's 2 weeks ago. And the holidays are coming. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I'll have Raven scratch-offs to give away, hopefully a lucky batch, as well as the candy cane scented versions for the holidays. Keep an eye on Luke all week long as we get ready for the Jets and then a quick game against the Bengals on Thanksgiving. It is a week and a time to be thankful around here, and I'm thankful that our audience always stays with us. Luke and I will be back for more football and more other things. We are WNST AM 1570 Towson Baltimore, and we never stop talking. Baltimore positive.